And we're going to be reading Genesis chapter 15. We'll read from verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, "I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit." And he said, "Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" And he said unto him, "Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon." And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "Unto thy seed shall have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites." Amen. May God bless to us this reading. We've seen how that the Lord protected Abraham and Sarah when they went down into Egypt during the famine. We have seen how the Lord made Abraham great in the land of Canaan after a victory over a number of kings, a confederacy of kings. And we've seen something of that curious meeting that Abraham had with Melchizedek. And this little chapter opens with a reference to after these things. We have seen how promises were made and how Abraham believed God and worshipped him. And now we are told that God makes a covenant with Abram. Now, this is not the first time that we have had mention of the word covenant, because Noah also in the earlier chapters of Genesis had reference to a covenant made with him. But it's interesting, I think, that here we are in Genesis chapter 15 and repeatedly we are being told about covenants. This God whom we worship is a covenant God. And if we are going to learn anything about God, it is good that we learn about the way God speaks to us and the way God reveals himself to us. And he reveals himself as a covenant God, a God who makes promises, and a God who is faithful to the promises that he has made. And here God uses this covenant to confirm to Abraham what he planned to do for Abraham. And as we read about this event in this chapter, we read about animals, we read about darkness, we read about a furnace, and we read about a lantern or a light. But the first thing I want us to notice here is that there is a reference to something that we haven't seen before. And it is this, a lovely little phrase. It is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Abram. Now I take that to be a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, because you'll know that John especially calls the Lord Jesus Christ the Word. At the beginning of his gospel and also the beginning of his first epistle, he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as being the living Word. And of course, we also remember that in John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that Moses, who wrote this book of Genesis, wrote of him, wrote of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is an example of where Moses is writing about the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't call him Jesus, he doesn't call him the Christ, the Messiah, but he calls him the Word of the Lord, the living Word, the Word of God. And it is a blessed thing to have God speak to men, to speak to men and women, to come and to say to us, fear not. It must have been a fearsome thing to be in the presence of God. And yet, how blessed to hear him saying to us, fear not. I am your shield, and I am your exceeding great reward. These are important words of protection. And right at the beginning of Genesis here, we are finding that God is revealing himself both as a covenant God and as a God who is a shield to his people, a protection to his people, who keeps them safe and who blesses them and gives them good gifts, good things, graces and mercies and rewards. So the Lord Jesus Christ is our shield and our reward, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the word of the Lord that came to Abraham, and the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am thy shield and thy reward. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the unchangeable God, and so he is still a shield and reward to the people of his choice. And Abraham seems to take this as a confirmation, but he wonders how it can be that God is going to bless him in the ways. This is not unbelief that's speaking in Abraham's heart, but rather wonder and anticipation. It's a little bit like Mary at the beginning of the New Testament, who says to the angel, Gabriel, how is it possible that God is going to do these wonderful things by me when I know not a man, when I'm not married? How is it going to be achieved, says Abraham? The Lord told Abraham that he would have a son. He showed him that he, although he was getting old in years and his wife was old and there was no child, yet the child would come, and it would be a child from Abraham's own body. And then the Lord took Abraham out and he showed him the stars. And he spoke to him about the number of stars. When we go out on a cloudless night and a dark night, maybe there's no moon, and we look up into the sky and we see all those stars and we think, look at how many there are. And of course, what we realize is that if you were to get a pair of binoculars or a telescope and look a little bit closer, there are so many more and more and more and more. And the more able we have got in science to look at the heavens, the more we can see that there is just an innumerable number of stars. And this was a picture to Abraham that there would be a great people would come from him. And that's both a physical people, like in nations of the world, but also a spiritual people, because Abraham was the father of those who believe. And verse 6 here is a very significant verse in this little passage, because it speaks of Abraham believing God, and that God gives righteousness to Abraham. God blesses Abraham with a righteousness, and he justifies Abraham, because that's what that word righteousness means. It means that he makes him as righteous as God himself. Now, Abraham was not a righteous man in his own nature, in his own flesh, as none of us are. But God made him righteous, and Abraham believed God. God gave Abraham a righteousness. And later on in the Bible, we learn that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord, our righteousness. So here, the Lord Jesus Christ gave Abraham himself, and he made him fit for the presence of God and the company of God with a righteousness which didn't flow from Abraham's own works or his own righteousness or his self-righteousness, but was a gift from God. And Abraham believed. It's not Abraham's faith that was meritorious, but rather he was blessed in being able to believe and having the gift of faith given to him. And Abraham was accepted by God in Christ. And then he has this picture given, and this vision is given to him. Animals are brought, and there's going to be a confirmation, as it were, of this covenant that God and Abraham now spoke about. The animals were brought, and they were slain, and they were set before the Lord. And we're told that the birds came down, and the birds of the air tried to peck away at these animals, at the carcasses of these animals. And Abraham had to chase them away. Now, I think that's an interesting little thing, and I wondered what that might mean. And I think that sometimes when we're worshipping God, we get distracted, don't we? We find that things come into our minds, and things that aren't to do with the message that we're hearing, or aren't to do with the passage that we're reading, or aren't to do with the prayers that we're praying. They're like the birds of the air, and Abraham had to chase them away. Here was God blessing him in this wonderful way, and yet Abraham was still distracted. And we have to chase these thoughts away as well. The sign that was given to Abraham was a sign of what would happen in the future. And here we speak about these animals and the blood, and we speak about a horror of darkness that came upon Abraham. Maybe that was a glimpse of his own sin and hell and judgment and separation. He speaks, Moses writing about this speaks about a furnace and a lamp, perhaps talking about heat and light, wrath and spiritual wisdom. You know, one of the things that is worth remembering when we read about these Old Testament passages is that we're not just inventing these ideas, but the Holy Spirit, by the New Testament prophets, lead us into understanding what these mysterious meetings and revelations from God were all about. And I agree with you that what we've read today, it's a strange event, and we often wonder what it means. But what it does tell us is that God was revealing his purpose to his people. If I were to take you to a building site and showed you the foundations that were being put in on the ground, you would have very little idea what the final building was going to look like, because all you could see were the foundations in the ground. And that's a little bit like what Moses is telling us here. We are beginning here in these early chapters of the Bible to see the foundations, God revealing the foundations. And we don't yet understand fully what God is going to do. That would be many years to come before the Lord Jesus Christ would come and we would see the fullness of God's purpose revealed. But here in these early days, we see the beginning of God's plan. Abraham is speaking to God. God is speaking to men and women. A covenant God, a loving God, a God who is a shield and a reward. And we see the purpose of God being fully revealed later in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the way of salvation and blessing and glory and grace being revealed in the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ's revelation. Here in these early chapters of Genesis, we hear the word of the Lord dimly. But then, as history unfolds, we see more clearly how we are to discern the hand of God in the salvation that Jesus brought. What a blessing it was for Abraham, and a blessing for us to read of his experience in knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Word, is the shield and the defense and the reward of his people. I think we've read about a couple of shields already today in our readings. And these are to encourage us and to bless us as we reflect upon what the Lord has done. Amen.